I want to read something from the law, the book of the Lord. Hear what it says in Isaiah 53, verses 5 through 6. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. John 10 and verse 18, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. We're here to discuss together and to think about this thought, who really killed Jesus. You may be seated. Father, we ask that you'd be with us in this session today because, Lord, this is a serious matter. While some may think that our coming here to bring up this question is a light one, if we don't answer it now or if we don't answer it soon, the judgment will come and the gavel will fall and that will be the final judgment and it will be too late. Bless us now that we might answer this question. And Lord, that we might be blessed as we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask it all in his name and for his sake. And all the people said, amen. Amen. So who really killed Jesus? As in any murder mystery, there are a couple of things that we must learn. Number one, we must try to find out the cause of death. What caused the death? If we can, we are to discern what was the murder weapon. We must also look at what was the motive. And if possible, who were the assailants? Who committed the crime? In the death of Jesus, we must determine the motive behind his death as well as the number of accomplices. Others who were involved. This is why we raise the question, who really killed Jesus? This matter is important because in order for us to understand the resurrection, you must understand first why he died. If you don't know why he died, then the resurrection is only going to be a miracle of some sorts, and you go on about your way. This resurrection that we talk about, it can only mean something if we know for whom he died and why he died. But first, we've got to understand who killed him. Look at somebody and say, was it you? Now ask yourself, was it me? Each year, people attend worship services and they pay tribute to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And while the knowledge of the ritual and the participation in the event is widely accepted, millions of people have not grasped the full meaning of why Christ rose. If it means nothing to us, if it's simply something that we go and we put on Easter clothes and we come out to the Easter service, then the resurrection has no impact on our lives. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 5 and 15 and verse 14, if Christ has not risen from the dead, then is our preaching in vain and your faith is also in vain. For that reason, we must understand the purpose for Christ coming into this world, dying on the cross, and then we'll be able to rejoice in his resurrection. With that being said, we want to turn our attention to the death of Jesus and the cause of his death we already know. We know that he died on a cross. They nailed him to a wooden cross outside the city of Jerusalem. We know the approximate age of his death. He was approximately 33 years of age. We know the murder weapon. It was a cross. The nails that were driven in his hands and in his feet. He was executed at 9 o'clock approximately, and he died around 3 o'clock that afternoon. And while the evidence points to the loss of blood and dehydration and lack of oxygen as the factors that contributed to his death, there were other factors, other things that we cannot ignore. And so we bring you into this place today to try to determine who really killed Jesus. And while those things are being weighed, we must also understand that as Jesus was on trial, there was a high court in heaven, and there was a session being held that talked about you and me. Judgment had to come. And what I want to argue is my first piece of evidence today, that judgment did come. But it didn't come to the earth. There was someone between earth and heaven that took the judgment upon him. Let me emphasize that there's a court date set in heaven. The date is set and it cannot be changed. It has been delayed. Hadn't occurred yet, but it will come. And this pending court date cannot be canceled by anybody. That day and that hour knoweth no man but the Father only. And either we prepare for that day or we face it on our own. For that reason, let me say again, the date is pending. But judgment did come when Jesus died on the cross. Are y'all still here? And with that in mind, I want to share with you that certain things were going on in heaven that probably you're not aware of. Certainly I wasn't aware of it until God brought it into my mind. Since Jesus was condemned to death by the Romans, I want to bring some charges against you and against me. And I'm not certainly in a position to judge you because I'm being judged as well. But since he stood before Pilate, a Roman representative, a Roman authority, I want to bring you to the book of Romans and bring up some charges against you that you probably have not thought about. You say, well, what does this have to do with the death of Jesus? It has everything to do with the death of Jesus because they could find no fault in him, but the God of heaven and the high court of glory found a whole lot of fault between you and me. Hold on to your seats and remember, you're still in court. So, preacher, when was the first charge that was brought against us? Romans chapter 3 brings up actually 7 charges against you and me. Romans chapter 3, if you have your Bible, you can turn there. We'll get to the other verses in just a little bit, but I want to go to Romans because we think I'm doing pretty good. I'm as good as everybody else. And you're not aware that charges have been brought against you in heaven. The high court of glory issued 7 indictments against you. Here they are. Number 1. Romans 3:10 says there is none righteous. No, not one. You say, is that a charge? Yeah, God wanted you to be righteous, but you're not righteous. Not one. That includes me. And the reason why I know that it's all right is because I read the end of the book. Are y'all still here? So what's the first charge? None righteous. What's the second charge? Romans 3:11 says, there are none that understand and none that seek after God. Not one. It wasn't you and your religiosity that said, I want to seek God. God sought you. Those of you that are listening online, God sought you. You didn't find Jesus. Jesus found you. There's none that understands. None seek after God. What's the third indictment? The third indictment is all have gone out of the way. Romans 3:12. They've turned aside. Everybody's gone their own way. Isn't that something? People say it's my life. Frank Sinatra wrote a song about it. I did it my way. You know, those folks in hell, they're singing that song. I did it my way. They've all gone out of the way. Romans 3:12 also says, there are none that do good. No, not one. God looked over the earth and couldn't find one person that did good. And everyone that did good, he had to help them. Heaven help us all. That's what I say, heaven help us all. Romans 3:12 also says, Romans 3:13 says that the fourth charge, there are none that do good, no, not one, not even one person is doing good. And the fifth charge says there's no fear of God before their eyes, Romans 3:18. No fear of God. People are not ashamed nowadays. They do whatever they want. And because the judgment has been delayed, they think the judgment has been canceled. Let me say to you again, the judgment has not been canceled. He comes at a day that you think not, and an hour that you may not be prepared. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. We're trying to determine why and who really killed Jesus. Let me read the sixth and seventh indictment against us. These are what we call summary charges. The sixth charge says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. That's what the Bible says. All have sinned. You were born in sin. You were raised in iniquity. All have sinned. And then the last part of that verse says, all have come short of the glory of God. Even at our best, we still did not hit the target. These are some serious charges against us. You might ask the question, well, preacher, they don't seem that big in my eyes. You're in the wrong court. You're not in the people's court. Amen, somebody. This is not Judge Judy. This is not all of the others that own. This is Judge God. He said that all of us have come short of his glory. You say, preacher, what's the charges against us, and what's the penalty for all of these charges? The penalty is in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But before the gavel could go down, before God pronounced judgment on this entire world, new evidence was entered. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach today. I said some new evidence was entered. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he became sin for us. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let me tell you what happened when Jesus went to the cross. He died by the hands of Romans. He died because the leaders, they conspired against him. He died on that cross and they pierced his side. But guess what? When the sin was on you and me, the charges against you and me, he put them all on Jesus. Are y'all gonna help me preach in here? What I'm saying to you, if you don't understand why he died, then you can't relate to why he rose. Who killed Jesus? That's the question. Another piece of evidence was entered in the court of glory. Before the judgment of God came upon this earth, another piece of evidence came to the court of glory, and this piece of evidence says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Wait a minute. Isaiah, an attorney from the Old Testament, entered the news and the report into the New Testament. Are y'all still here? And said, wait a minute, I got something I want to give you, God. I got something that nobody's going to believe my report. It says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Everything that was in us said, you're all wrong. And Jesus was all right. But what God did, he reversed the thing. Jesus took our wrong, we took out his right, and now we can stand up and say, God, I thank you. What else does it say? What does the evidence say? The evidence also says that our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. I can't explain it, but all I know, it is written. Look at somebody telling me it is written. Now, whenever something is written in the book, you know it's going to stand. And I'm not talking about half-truth. I'm not talking about false truth. Am I talking about fake news? I'm talking about good news. Jesus took your sin and my sin upon his body. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. What is the evidence? What does the evidence say? The evidence says all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I'm trying not to get too excited. So while the religious leaders were conspiring against Jesus and said, you know what, we got him now. Let's take him to the Romans, and we're going to make him a public example. Put him on that cross, and then we're going to walk around that cross and say, hey, Jesus, come down from the cross if you be the Son of God, seeing that God delighted in. But they didn't know he took their charges. I get it. Some of y'all ain't never been to court. You ain't never had to stand before a judge. You never had a situation where somebody come up and say, oh, I'll pay it for him. Come on now. You can have a good lawyer, but unless you come up with the payment, you ain't getting out of there. Oh, God, help me preach today. When the charges were read against every human being in glory, I know some of y'all thinking, well, preacher, how are you going to nail me with the death of Jesus? And I wasn't even there. Your sin was there. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Your sin was represented as well as the sin of everyone, past, present, and future. Because he knew we needed a Savior. And it says, and the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. All means all. Everybody under the face of the sun. You look down at that little baby. Oh, ain't they cute? Yeah, they're cute, but they're sinners. And if they don't allow something to happen in their life, this evidence of Christ, they will die in their sin. But Lord, I did good all my life. You sure about that? Because somebody lied. If we say that we have no sin, we make God a liar. I'm going to ask you a question today as we're in court. How do you plead? Before you answer the question, I got another piece of evidence. I know what you're getting ready to say. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 says again, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Romans 6:23, the penalty is that the wages of sin is death. The high court of glory has declared every human being that has ever lived or ever will live, you're as guilty can be. You say, well, what's the impact of this? John in the book of Revelation said that when the book was opened or the book was presented, there was no one worthy to open the book or to look in it. And John said, I wept, and as I read that, I thought about, well, why is he weeping? He's weeping because if the book can't be opened, your name can't be read. And if your name can't be read, you will not get into heaven. But then John said, wait a minute, I've got another piece of evidence. In the midst of the elders, there stood a lamb as though he'd been slain. He came to the right hand of God who sat on the throne and said, I'll take the book, I'll loose the seals, and I'll read it. Ah, you heard the old folks say, when the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. Well, if your name is not called, you can't be there. But thank God, Jesus presented new evidence. Look at somebody said, there's new evidence. Oh, yeah, my sin made it to heaven, but I thank God there's new evidence. He took upon himself all the iniquity of us all. All of us had turned to our own way. And as you and I stand before Almighty God, while Jesus was on the cross, you didn't know what was happening in heaven. I realized this when I had some circumstances where you had to go to, you know, traffic tickets, all those type of things. You had to go to court and settle it. And while the judge is sitting up there with the gavel, the folks over in the corner, you see them. You say, what are those folks working on? They're working on documents. Either you're going to get out of there or you're going to pay the fine. Are y'all still in the building? And you didn't realize this, but when Jesus was on the cross, there was a document of dismissal being prepared in heaven. Hallelujah, somebody. A document that said, now you can walk because you're free to go. I wish somebody would help me preach that. Glory be to God. Let's take a praise break. I got to take a praise. Give the Lord a hand clap. Yeah, God. Oh, my God, my God. You said, well, preacher, I thought we were standing before the judgment. No, you went to the mercy seat. The judgment wasn't for you because you admitted, I did it. I'm the one. You know, what a court can do, what a judge would allow, he will allow for cases to be settled out of court. But you got to do it before the court date. Anybody go help me preach in here? You can't wait until the judge comes in and begins to bang on the gavel. You can't wait until that happens. You got to say, hey, let me get with my attorney. And we're going to see if we can't work out a deal with this prosecutor over here. And in your case, for those of you that love Jesus, the same one who is your judge is also your representative. Oh, God. Hallelujah, somebody. I can't help but get happy. You say, well, what did Jesus do when he got off the cross? When he got off the cross, they buried him, but the document in heaven was already being sealed in his blood that says they can go because I died for them. I wish I had somebody. So here's the deal. He had to rise from the dead to be your attorney. You didn't ask for him, but you need him. Look at somebody say, I didn't ask for him, but I got him. Under the law here in the United States, they said, if you cannot afford an attorney, and Lord knows I couldn't afford one, but I got, oh God, help me preach in here. I got the best attorney. I got a good lawyer. Can y'all help me preach? He's a lawyer in a courtroom. Won't he do it? He'll judge your case. He'll get you off of your crime, but you got to admit to him, Lord, I need you. Anybody need Jesus up in here? Lord, help me preach. Lord, help me preach. Yo, hold on. Hold on. Wait a minute. Another piece of evidence has been entered because we're trying to determine who really killed Jesus. We got another piece of evidence. You say, well, wait a minute. Preacher, you've already given us enough evidence. What's this other piece of? I told you about he was bruised for our iniquities. I told you that, right? Yeah. He was wounded for our transgression. I told you that, right? That's the evidence. But look at here. Wait a minute. What is this I see right here? It says it pleased God to afflict him. Yeah, the Bible said it pleased God to afflict him. Now, you would think that would implicate God, right? You would think, well, God's the one that did it. But God wasn't the one that drove the nails in his hand. All right now. All right. Look at somebody and say, all right now. God wasn't the one that gambled for his clothes. Oh, man, I need some new clothes. Jesus got some sharp stuff on there. God wasn't the one that pierced his side. But God accepted what was being done because God knew that his plan was, I'm going to redeem them one way or other. So when they stretched him wide and they hung him high between two dirty thieves, God looked down and said, you know what? You have done that out of spite, but I'm going to forgive you out of love. Red God. What is this I see? Now I'm seeing in heaven that document of dismissal. I'm seeing it how the clerk is bringing it up to the judge. And the judge is saying, are you the one? What is your plea? Now let me warn you, if you plead not guilty, then you won't be able to get that document of dismissal. But if you plead guilty in the name of Jesus, if you plead guilty, there's pardon for your sin. If you plead guilty, you can come to the Lamb of God and be forgiven. If you plead guilty, you can say, Lord, I know I did it, but I wasn't in my right mind. But then Jesus can touch you. Somebody said he'll turn you around. Oh, he'll bless you so that you'll walk right, you'll talk right, if you plead guilty. But you got to plead guilty. Don't play with God. He saw you when you did it. He saw you after you did it. God knows you're going in and you're coming out. Plead guilty. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Before the document was signed, there was another piece of evidence. John 10 and verse 18. Jesus said this before he died. Nobody takes my life from me. No one. That meant death couldn't even touch him until he willed it. No one could take his life from him. And then he went on to say, I lay it down. So that was, wait a minute, help me out with this. Did he commit suicide? No, no, no. He didn't kill himself, baby. But he died out of love. He died because he made himself the sacrifice. While you were in your nasty sin. That's right, I said nasty. While you were tore up from the floor up. The high court of glory said, I'll accept his offering. I'll accept his sacrifice. So that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. I'm so glad today he took my sin, gave me his spirit, and now I can walk like a Christian. And then Jesus said, Father, I want you to write this one, this final piece of evidence. I want you to write it. And God said, I'll write it and I'll sign it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God signed and said, that's all right, son. Now, here's the point. You come to celebrate Easter because it's all about the bunny rabbit. You come to celebrate Easter because you got some new clothes to wear to church. But you better know what the resurrection means to you. And in order for you to know what the resurrection means to you, you better know why he died. Now, while you may not have killed him, your hand was on the sacrifice. He became the pardon for your sin. When you touch Jesus, you are made whole. With his stripes, you are healed. Now, getting ready to go out of court. Some of y'all watching this clock, you ain't been in here but an hour. The judge only signed 1 hour. We're getting ready to lower the gavel on the service. But you need to make a plea. before any of this applies to you, you got to take it personal. You got to cry out, it was me. It was me. It was me who committed the crime. It was me who should stand before the judgment. Well, what happens, preacher, if I don't make this plea? The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You either judge it now and say, Christ paid my bill, or either you judge it later and it'll be too late. So I want to ask you, what is your plea? I'm here in silence. I can't hear you. We're all guilty. Some of you online, you may be saying, I ain't guilty. You're just as guilty can be. But we here, we've got the blood on our hands to show that we're guilty, but we're free. We're guilty, but we're pardoned. We're guilty, but now we can stand before Almighty God. We can say, Lord, I've got the blood of your Son to prove that all of my charges have been forgiven. Back in the old church, we used to sing this song, Jesus dropped the charges. I ain't gonna sing it today. But the song goes with the words, I was guilty, I had done wrong, lived in sin too long. But then Jesus, with his precious blood, came and rescued me from all of my sin. And now I'm saved. I've been set free. Jesus dropped the charges. I'm here to tell you that as you go out of court today, your charges have been dropped. In the name of Jesus, your charges are done away with. You online, you are free to go and live your life according to God's plan. You're free to go. Let's everybody stand, celebrate, talk about the goodness. Talk about the goodness of the Lord. Thank God for Jesus. I thank God for Jesus. Let's celebrate today. Let's know what Easter means and the purpose of his coming into this planet. He rose again, but thank God he rose for me. Look at somebody. He rose for me. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Are you happy today? Because he lived. Come on, sing it with me. I can face tomorrow. Because he lived. Oh, yes. All fear is gone. And because I know. Because I know he holds my future, and life is worth, oh, yes. Thank you.
Just before we pray, yeah, just want to say something on that word resurrection. That word resurrection, just like Pastor said, means a change. Last year, this time, we was dealing with a major outbreak of COVID. This year, this time, COVID is still on the scene, but guess what? The resurrected life Jesus Christ have given us another chance to be into the house of prayer on this Resurrection Sunday. We have crossed over, but God has kept us here for a purpose and a reason. And I encourage you from this day forward to seek out what is God has laid out for you to do. All of us has something to do. If it's nothing but just wave your hands to let God know I acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. Shall we pray? Our Father, because you live, we can face tomorrow. Because of your blood that you shed it upon the cross, we can face tomorrow. And for that, oh Lord, we just want to say thank you. We thank you, Father, for how you have allowed us to even come to travel across the dangerous highways throughout this week, Lord, and you kept us alive to make it here today. And Father, we say thank you. As we look around, Father, and we still see that we still have loved ones in the land of the living, that we can call on the phone or we can hug every now and then and say, I love you. Father, we want to say thank you. Father, we know there's many heavy hearts today because their loved one is not here. But we pray, Father, that you comfort them and give them strength to endure, to realize that you are still in charge. Father, as we give it to leave this place, we ask you to dismiss us from this place, but not from our holy presence. Continue to pour your Holy Spirit into the pastor, Father, as he feeds us the word. And can you continue to allow us to open our hearts and our mind to receive what you are selling us through your manservant. Father, we pray for every household here. As you leave here today, don't leave here without saying, Lord, I thank you for another day. Don't leave here today, you haven't caught it, without saying, Lord, I thank you for another day. Somebody's still alive, but let me say it one more time. Say it with me, maybe you're not getting it. Lord, I thank you for another day. God bless you. Go in peace. Amen.